We continue on today in our series called The 90%, right? The idea here is that there's a lot of sermons and series that have been made over giving, right? And over how important it is for us to give a tithe and to give to the church and to the Lord in that way. But my question that I've been sort of wrestling with is, what are we supposed to do with the other 90%? Because the truth of the matter is, none of it belongs to us. Like we don't own anything. We didn't create anything. We the strength that we had to go to a job, that didn't come from us, right? The breath that we breathe to be able to get there, the energy that we have to use to go to the bank to cash that check, like, none of that belongs to us. So if it all belongs to God, then what are we supposed to do with the other 90%? Now, that got me thinking about this other thing, and that is that I noticed that in life, many times, the way that we spend our money sort of coincides with other areas in our lives, and how it is that we are surrendering every area of our life to the Lord. And so, really, we're just kind of using finances as an example, as an illustration to look at how is it that we are giving all of our lives to Jesus? How is it that we are fully living for Him? Today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 18, and we're going to be looking into an interaction that Jesus has with someone who is simply described as a ruler. And the very peculiar sort of back and forth conversation they have, but the whole heart of the text is in Luke chapter 18, starting in verse 22. And I want, as we begin here, I want to just start by reading verses 22 and 23 out of Luke chapter 18. It says, "When Jesus heard this," and we're going to get to that here in just a minute, but when Jesus heard this, he said to him, to the ruler, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." And when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. It's peculiar to me that this ruler became sad. I think that's an interesting way to describe it, right? Because, like, if you think about it, like, he's a ruler. He's obviously pretty wealthy. He's doing well for himself. I don't know what he had to do to get those finances and everything, but he appears to be, just based off of what we're going to read here in just a little bit, he appears to be a fairly godly man, so I don't think he's, you know, stolen from too many people, probably. But he's doing pretty well for himself, right? And he comes to Jesus, and he doesn't get the answer that he was expecting, I don't think. And it says that he became very sad. It's peculiar to me because I think that it makes me wonder if if he's doing so well for himself, why didn't he just tell Jesus to buzz off, right? How come when Jesus says to him, "Sell all you have and give it to the poor and your treasure will be in heaven," why doesn't he just look at Jesus and say, "You know what, on second thought, I'm good. I'm just going to go spend all my money and it's going to be awesome." He doesn't do that. It's just peculiar to me. He obviously recognizes something in Jesus. But there is something that is holding him back from Jesus at the same time. Isn't that interesting? There was something that got him there. There was something that drove him to go and to have that conversation. And now, let's recognize the fact that again, because he's a ruler, he's a person of influence, and so he was probably granted some face time with Jesus that some other people might not have been able to because the crowds wouldn't have allowed it. But this guy, being a person of influence, he's able to actually have this conversation with Jesus. He thought enough of Jesus that he wanted to talk to him, but then when he actually heard from Jesus, at the same time there was something that was holding him back from this Jesus that he was seeking. I just find that very, very peculiar. And so what I want to do is I want to kind of go back and get the rest of the story here and look into why it is exactly that he was so sad in this interaction. So go back with me to verse 18 of Luke chapter 18. And so again, Luke chapter 18, I want to read for you verses 18 through 21. There's a certain ruler asked him, that being Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. Now, I just want to stop there for a second because, truth be told, if this guy was alive today, we'd be making posters out of him, right? Like, in the church, like, if we got a hold of a guy like this, like, oh, he'd be the chair of the board, right? Like, he would, we would have a parking spot for him, right? Like, oh, this guy, like, think about this now. This is a guy who has said that from his youth, he has followed the word of God, right? Now, so that's a good thing. In other words, as far as we know, there's no skeletons in the closet, right? It's not like he's gonna come and worship here, and then one of these days we're gonna find out that he was actually a mass murderer at one point, right? Like, as far as we know, based off of his own testimony, like, this is a guy who is like following God, and not only is he following God, but he's also a person of influence. He's a ruler. He's a political guy who follows God. Like, does that even exist anymore? Right? And not only that, but we know that he is this God follower that is in a position of influence who also has some money. Hey, like, I might take him out for coffee just to get to know him a little better, right? Like, hey, I mean, we got some ministry that we need done in the church. Maybe you can help be a part of that, right? You know? This is a guy who, in all seriousness, this is a guy who, if he showed up today, we would all be drinking his Kool-Aid. All right, we would. He'd be the guy that we're all looking at, like, wow, like, he's doing it. But that is not at all what Jesus does with this guy, like. Like, couldn't Jesus have just recognized that, hey, person of influence, all this kind of stuff? Like, how many people could get saved if Jesus was just like, hey, all right, you're on the team, let's go. Let's, you know, go here, take this and go spread my word and everything. But that's not what Jesus does. He starts in with a question. Why do you call me good? It's funny, right? Because this is very Jesus, right? Just responding to people in a way that you just would not expect for Jesus to respond. The guy comes to Jesus, and it is an interesting question. Why do you call me good? Right? Because only God is good, which means there's only two reasons that this guy could have been calling Jesus good. One is that he actually thinks Jesus is God. Now, we're going to get into why that might be more of an issue later on. But it is possible that he could have been calling Jesus good because he was associating him with actually being God, actually being Emmanuel, God with us. Right? Or he was being polite. He's being respectful. Like, he could have walked up to Jesus and said, you know, hey, you bum. You know, what do I got to do to get into heaven, right? I guess he could have done that. But he's being polite. And the least you could do is be polite, right? But think about this now. What is it that keeps us from Jesus? What is it that was keeping this ruler from Jesus? See, I would actually be willing to put out there that him being polite was actually part of what was keeping him from Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Come on now, you're gonna catch up with me here in just a minute. Watch this now. Because see, he was just trying to be a nice guy, and so he was trying to talk to Jesus like one nice guy to another nice guy.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, I hope you follow me now. He was trying to talk to Jesus like one nice guy talking to another nice guy. And Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good?" See, it just makes me wonder if Jesus wasn't only talking about himself, but it makes me wonder if he wasn't just talking to that guy. Like, oh, you think I'm good? Like, you're good, right? Like, oh, so what is it that makes me good? And what is it that makes you good? Because I don't think you're actually good. I think what you need is a Savior who, hey, by the way, I am, right? Now, where this becomes a problem for us, where sometimes we actually, where there are some things that keep us from God, sometimes we come to Jesus just trying to be polite as well. Like, we read His Word and we think, oh, those are nice things. And we see other people that are serving God and we just want, oh, we really want to support those people. But then when it comes to us actually living this thing out, we're just like, oh, well, you know what? It's nice to meet you. I'm going to check with you next week, right? We're polite. We're not rude. We show up. We give our time. We wear the right things. But we're just going as far as being polite. Isn't it interesting that Jesus could care less about how polite he was? Isn't that interesting? Like, the guy comes with good manners. And that's what Jesus jumps on. Like, yeah, what? Why you call me good again? But then we go on here. And verse 22. It says, when Jesus heard this, and again, this being, remember he said, you know, what about the commandments? Ruler says, oh, I've been following these since I was a boy. Right? Verse 22 then. Because when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. See, it makes me wonder if the ruler still thought he was a good teacher. It does make me wonder. But he does go away sad, so I think maybe he does think he's a good teacher. Right? But it does make me wonder, like, when the ruler walked up to him thinking it was one good guy talking to another good guy, like, everybody's chipper and nice and respectful and polite, right? But then when one of those good guys starts saying things like this, all of a sudden, things change, don't they? It makes me wonder if the ruler still thought Jesus was a good teacher even after he told him to sell everything he had. Which makes me kind of wonder, even for us today, like, do we think that Jesus is great just because we agree with most of what he says? Or do we think he's great just because of who he is? Right? Because where we come to really know that is there's going to be some times where we start reading the Word of God and some things that we read in here do not line up with how our lives are going, do not line up with how we are living. And so then we have to decide, like, are we actually going to follow the charge and the words of Jesus, or are we just going to live our own life? Like we can't. Jesus is not just calling us to keep doing our own thing. If you want to do your own thing, you don't need Jesus for that. Amen. Jesus is calling us to follow Him. And He's still a good teacher even when we don't agree with what He says. Right? I mean, that's where we've got to stop and think, like what is really holding us back from giving everything to Jesus? Not just showing up, not just maybe read a verse here or look at an Instagram post there, right? Like what is holding us back from actually letting our whole lives get into Jesus? Maybe part of what's holding us back is we don't like everything Jesus has to tell us.
That's right.
Maybe we don't think Jesus is all that good of a teacher after all. Because if he was that good of a teacher, he would agree with what I think, right? Ooh, I hope that's nervous laughter. right? Because I know how I think. It is not ideal. I'm going to tell you that right now. I know where my mind can go sometimes, and I sure hope, Lord, thank you. I sure hope that I'm not right about some things. Because my mind can go some crazy places sometimes. Maybe you got a mind like that too. That you get to thinking things that don't have anything to do with God or His Word or who Jesus is or the Holy Spirit that is trying to live inside of you. Sometimes my mind can go some places. So I sure hope that I'm not right about everything. Because if I am, then we're all in a world of hurt. But I thank God every day that He is still a good teacher even when I don't like what He has to say. I am so thankful that He's right even when I'm wrong. There we go. Amen. I am so thankful that He is still on the throne even when I'm trying to put myself there.
Right.
See, sometimes what's keeping us back from really following Jesus is trusting what we don't like that He says.
Yes, that's a big one. Amen.
Ooh, mercy.
Amen. Yes, yes.
Verse 23. It says, when he heard this, being the ruler, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The ruler here, I think, was looking for something to do. What must I do to gain eternal life? Which, if you think about it, kind of plays right into his hand, because he already follows God and he has lots of money and he has lots of influence. So if there's anything that he's done, like, he could do it, right? But Jesus did not give him something to do. Jesus gave him someone to follow.
Amen.
Well, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, Jesus, like, if I just follow you, then my capacity to do for you is nothing. Like, if all I'm doing is following you, then what's the point in having all this money and all this influence? And it just makes me wonder if that's not exactly what Jesus is trying to get across to him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if you're following me, you don't need the money. You don't need the influence. You don't need this whole kingdom you built up for yourself. Like, if you're following me, you got me. Jesus doesn't want to just watch you do nice things.
That's right.
What he really wants is for you to watch him do miraculous things.
Amen.
That's what he really wants. And I know that that can be a big jump. That can be a really long step right there. But I want you to really hold on to this with me for just a moment. And just let this sink in. Jesus doesn't want to watch you do nice things. Jesus doesn't need you to impress him or the rest of the world with how mannerly you are. Jesus doesn't need you to just take that which he has given you and just do nice things with him. Now, don't get me wrong. He's not opposed to nice things. Nice things are nice. They are. But they're not going to change the world. Because that's really why we're here. I don't know if you realize that or not, but Jesus didn't establish the church just so that we could be nice.
That's right.
No, he established the church so that we could change the world.
Praise his name. Amen.
How awesome is that? Like,
yeah.
You don't, which is really comforting for me because I sometimes struggle with being nice. But how awesome is it to think that, like, the greatest extent of our influence is not just to be mannerly? mean, it's nice that you're mannerly. I hope that you use good manners. I'm not encouraging you to be disrespectful and rude to people. Let me be very clear in this. I don't want you to punch me in the nose when we leave and just say, oh, I'm out of here, whatever. But just being nice is not why Jesus died on the cross. You don't need Jesus to be nice. Maybe that's what I'm really trying to say. You don't need Jesus to be nice. Like, I can teach a 2-year-old to be nice just for 5 minutes. Right? We can be trained to be nice. We don't need Jesus to be nice. But if we as the church are actually going to live in the mission that Jesus gave the church, well then now we're beyond just being nice. Now we are living in this love that is beyond nice. It's a kind of love that when people see it, they don't understand it and they wonder what's wrong with you, right? When we start submitting ourselves to God and actually let Jesus be the Lord of our lives, when we stop just giving a little bit and we let God have the other 90% as well, then we open ourselves up not just to be nice to other people, but to see God shake the very foundations of hell itself. Like, we get to see God bring miraculous healing. We get to see God transform lives. We get to see God redeem us from sin and brokenness. Like, I'll be honest with you. I don't need you to be nice. I need Jesus to be Lord, because your niceness is not going to change my life, but Jesus Christ will.
Amen.
That's why we're here.
Yes.
That's why we're here. Like, if all you're really interested in doing is being nice, you probably need to be somewhere else, because you're just wasting your time here. I know that sounds really weird. It's like a pastor just telling his congregation, you just need to go somewhere else. I don't mean it like that necessarily, but I guess I kind of do too, right?
Yes.
Jesus died so that we would give him everything, and we would follow him, because Jesus is going to do miraculous things.
Yes, he is.
And his Holy Spirit is going to do impossible things.
Yes, yes, yes.
And if we're spending all of our time just being nice, we're probably going to miss all the miracles.
That's it. Amen.
But if we stop just trying to do for God and focus ourselves on following God,
yes,
then we're going to find ourselves in the middle of those miracles too. Amen?
Praise his name.
Let me get myself out of here. Verse 26 through 29 here. So those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Which is interesting, because what that means is that those who were asking this question must have seen everybody as rich in one way or another, right? Because if it's just the rich who can't be saved, then everybody else should be fine. The poor folks should be good, right? But apparently, just by that question, the thought is like, well, then everybody must be rich to some extent. Who can be saved? Jesus, like, come on. Where was that? 26. 27. Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God.
Amen.
And then Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to him, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this kingdom and in the age to come, eternal life. Which is interesting, because that's where this whole conversation started. Was with eternal life. Interesting as well that the ruler didn't really appreciate the answer they got from Jesus. See, it doesn't make sense if you think about it. What's the point in having a poor ruler? I mean, the whole point of being a ruler is that you get to swim in the cash flow, right? Like, what's the point of being a ruler if you got to be poor as well? Like, that, how does that even make sense? It doesn't really seem to connect that you would be a ruler who is also a follower. Like, if you're a ruler, then you the leader, right? Like, how is the ruler is supposed to be a follower, right? There's these expectations, if you will, that this ruler has set up for himself, that this is how my life is supposed to be. Like, I am a position, I put myself in a position of influence, I follow the law, right? I follow the word of God, I do these things, and then I'm supposed to be able to get eternal life, like, as a rich ruler. So why is Jesus saying this to him now? It just doesn't fit the expectations that the ruler had set up for himself. He begins kind of telling himself, well, I can't follow you. I got too much money. I mean, that's really what he said, right? I mean, he went away sad about it. He was brokenhearted. I genuinely believe he wanted to follow Jesus. But really what he said was, I can't follow you. I've got too much money. We have a lot of ways that we say that. I can't follow you. I wasn't raised in this kind of home. I can't follow you. I have responsibilities that I have to keep going with. I can't follow you. I have a job and career goals. Like, I can't, Jesus, I can't follow you. I have burdens and guilt. Jesus, I can't follow you. I have insecurities and brokenness. Jesus, I can't follow you. I want people to like me too much. Like, Jesus, I can't follow you. Like, I can't let go of everything that I have built up. Jesus, I can't follow you. It just be impossible to step outside of the expectations that I have already set for myself. Do you see that?
Yes.
Yet what is impossible with man is possible with God.
Amen. Thank the Lord.
I want to invite the worship team to come back up. We're talking about the 90% today. How is it that we're going to move from just giving some of who we are to God and actually step into giving God everything, giving Him the 90%, the 10%, 100%, everything? I know that can seem like a really, really big jump, right? There might be some of you here today who have never actually trusted Jesus Christ with your life, who's never said, you know what, I want to be a Jesus follower, like, I want to be a Christian, like, I want to be able to say, like, I'm not just living life for me, like, I really want to live for Jesus. But that can seem like such a huge step, like, this just doesn't fit with the expectations that I've set for my life, and I don't know if I can make that step. I want you to know, it might seem impossible to you, but it's possible with God. You might be dealing with some hurt and some brokenness that just seems impossible to be able to move beyond. But I want you to know that it's not impossible with God. Think about this for a second. Perspective is everything, right? It's only impossible because we see it as impossible. But to God, doing these things, making these changes in your life, because He's the one who will be making those changes if you will submit to Him. Making these changes in your life, this is natural for Him. Think about that for a moment. Like, yeah, it seems impossible to us. It seems impossible that God could provide in a way that we've never seen Him provide before. It seems impossible that God could change our hearts. It seems impossible that God would even want me to follow Him. It seems impossible that He could do anything. It seems impossible that He could do a miracle in my life or a miracle in the life of someone that I love. Like, all of that seems so incredibly impossible. But God does this all the time. He heals people all the time. He saves people from their sin all the time. Like, this is natural, like breathing for God.
Amen.
The only one it's unnatural for is us. Which is why it's not about us doing one more thing.
Right.
It's about us choosing to follow Jesus.
Amen.
And giving Him everything. I have this basket up here, and it has these wristbands in it. The wristbands simply say on them, God is This is going to be a theme that you hear from me a lot this year, because it's just this is something that God is ringing true in my heart over and over again. And so what I want to do is, as we're going to sing a couple of songs here and everything, and as we do, I want to invite you to do a couple of things. One, if the Lord is challenging you today to move past just the 10% that you're giving Him and give Him the 90% as well, I want to invite you to come and to pray, or maybe just pray with somebody there at your seat, and really, really commit yourself to God in this way. But I want to invite you to do something else as well. I want you to come and get one of these wristbands. Now, don't just come because you like the way it looks or because somebody next to you went and got one. No. If you come and get one of these, I want you to know why you're getting it. And in fact, I might even ask you, what is God able to do in your life? And I want you to be able to tell me what it is that you are trusting God to do. The impossible thing, that thing that you might not think is possible right now, but is natural for God to do in your life. What is it that God is able to do in your life? And I want you to wear this as a reminder of what God is able to do in your life.
Amen.
But that's not all. See, because as you wear this, somebody else is going to ask you about this too. You're going to encounter somebody who's going through something that might be similar to what you're going through right now. And what I want you to do is I want you to give these away like it's on fire. I want you to give them to somebody else and let them know that just like they might think that what they need is impossible, God is able in their lives too. And when you give yours away, you can come on back, get you another one anytime you want. You better know why you have it though, because I'm going to ask you. All right? But don't just wear it to hold it. Don't keep this promise to yourself. Give the promise away, because if God is able to do it for you, and He is, God is able to do it for those who aren't in this room right now as well. Stand with me if you would, please. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and then we're going to respond to the Word of God. You respond to Him. Say yes to Him, however it is that He might be challenging you today. Lord God, we thank You for Your presence in this place. We thank You, Father, that You are in control. You are worth following. You are worth everything we have, God. We surrender to You now. Thank You, Father, for meeting us at our point of need, for encouraging us and leading us to where You would have us to go, God. We know that You are able. Give us the faith to follow You every step of the way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.